Now, it used to be thought that the gut was a simple tube whose function was to digest food or absorb water and nutrients and eliminate waste. How has the model changed, especially with regards to the gut hormones you're talking about and our understanding of the hormone physiology in the gut itself?
Well, I think if we go back to early medical teaching, we recognized there were various so-called endocrine organs that produced hormones, and things like the thyroid, the adrenals, the pituitary, the hypothalamus. But as time has gone by, we realize that there are more endocrine organs than these. And hormones, by definition, are substances which are produced in one part of the body and they have an action at a remote site. So that hormone travels in the blood generally and acts on another site. And what we've come to realize is the gut is a pretty sophisticated endocrine organ. It's not just producing one or two or three gut hormones, mm-hmm. It's producing many, and different parts of the gut are producing different hormones, so that the function of the gut, the influence the gut might have over the liver, over metabolism, over satiety, so there are hormones going between that are acting, coming from the stomach and acting on the brain. There are things possibly coming the other way, and these are affecting satiety. They may affect food preferences. They affect how the stomach works, how the liver works, how metabolism works. And so it is that we have undoubtedly come to recognize that the gut is not just a tube. It's not just absorbing food. There are a lot of very sophisticated regulatory mechanisms, some of which are hormonal or based on hormonal action. And what we're saying here is there's simply another one of these hormones which has a profound action, we think, in the liver, and it is opposing the action of insulin on the liver. And this is not too difficult to understand. After all, the gut, the blood that comes from the gut goes straight to the liver.
That's right.
So that if there are things being made in the gut, hormones being made, their first port of call is going to be the liver, and some of them may well have quite important regulatory roles in liver function. One function of the liver is to produce glucose when it's needed and to store glucose when it's not needed.
How close is your research to identifying this factor X?
Well, that's really difficult. If you had asked me 4 years ago, I would have said it's just round the corner. And I'd like to say exactly the same thing today. But, you know, there keep on being difficulties and complexities. But let me say, we made quite a major step forward a year ago. And so certainly we're hopeful that within the next 12 to 24 months, we will know what this substance is, and we will know a fair bit about it, and we may therefore be on the road to making a drug that will block its action. So without knowing where the end of the road is, we think we're making good progress. We've been working on this for about 8 years, and so we know a lot about the whole process. We have a lot of evidence, and none of it contradicts the fundamental hypothesis we're working on.
Well, this certainly, I mean, from the information that you provided today, this is an extremely exciting avenue of research, considering the number of people that this can help, and how the paradigm of potential diabetes management may change, and the understanding of the pathophysiology of the disease, all stemming from an original surgery where I'm sure the intent at the beginning was not that it was going to affect gut hormones.
No, that's right. There's no doubt that this is the findings of this research, and there are others, of course, around the world who are pursuing the same sort of work, though mostly in slightly different ways, I think. But nevertheless, there are many chasing this goal now, and it, when it is found, the management and future for diabetic patients will be different. And that's really, that's fantastically, that's a lovely bit of optimism for those who are troubled with this disease, because as you mentioned in your introduction, it doesn't much matter if, it's not so bad if you get diabetes at 55 or 60, because it takes many years before it has its really bad effects on the body. But increasingly we're seeing diabetics in 30-year-olds, 20-year-olds, 15-year-olds, and many of these people will be facing consequences of very unpleasant consequences of their diabetes within 15 or 20 years. So we have got a different problem, but there's also there's help at hand, I think. And my guess is that the sort of work that we're doing and others are doing will provide answers for not just diabetes, but probably obesity itself. The other interesting thing, you've heard me talking about insulin resistance. Mm-hmm. The key, insulin resistance is undoubtedly the key factor in type 2 diabetes, but it also looks as if it's the key factor in hypertension, in dyslipidemia. And so, in fact, the key to reducing rates of heart disease and of those diseases is probably also the same drug right. to reduce insulin resistance. So we see, for example, in 6 days, hypertension goes away in people who may be needing 3 or 4 medications, and with poor control, suddenly they need nothing. We see their lipids becoming normal. They don't need their statins and fibrates. So we're seeing some other things which clearly mean that insulin resistance is probably the root cause of many of possibly of all of the key metabolic disorders we see that lead to heart disease and stroke. So I think we've got a really exciting next 10 years in the history of medicine. And the pharmacology of our metabolic diseases, I think, will change dramatically in the next 10 years or within or somewhere. It's going to be in the 5 to 10 year time frame, I would think.
Dr. Richard Stubbs is an upper gastrointestinal surgeon and professor in the Department of Pathology and Molecular Medicine and director of the Wakefield Biomedical Research Unit at the University of Otago in Wellington, New Zealand. And Dr. Stubbs, I'd like to thank you tremendously for making the time this morning for in New Zealand to come on the air to discuss this issue. And this is extremely exciting. And in some ways, this opens up the Pandora's box of dogmatic thinking that of various disease processes, and I am really excited to see these changes, and I hope to follow and have you back on the air to discuss in a year or two what Factor X is and what we're going to do about it.
That's great, Barry. It's been a real pleasure to speak with you. It's so difficult getting new ideas through to the world. You know, I often think that scientific endeavor grows most easily by creep. Mm-hmm. Now and again, it takes a leap, but most of those involved in those leaps struggle for a long time. It's somehow or other much more acceptable to just grow knowledge quietly, add to what we've got, rather than change direction. It's a pleasure to be involved in this research. It's obviously exciting, and it's a pleasure to speak with you.
A pleasure was mine.